Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. It's Tuesday of 3M Open Week and for the Amundi Evian Championship. We'll talk about that today. We'll touch a little bit on the Senior Open, the market that's opened up for that at Royal Porthcawl, the final major of the year for the PGA Tour champions. And we'll just kind of go over a little bit about the golf course this week. I think there's some not misreading of the golf course. I don't think that's the case, but different ways of looking at TPC Twin Cities that I kind of want to highlight today. In full transparency, I have not run the model yet when I recorded this. And the reason that is I was doing a favor for a friend today and wanted to make sure I got this out, at least with some notion of who the best players in this field are. And then we can talk a little bit about current form and current trends and stuff like that. And we don't really need the model for all that because, frankly, this is such a top-heavy field that it's not that particularly complicated. We will run it. I'll talk about it tomorrow's show, but as we set all the final cards. But I do want to talk about TPC Twin Cities a little bit. As I mentioned yesterday, I think that this golf course is in large way reflective of rewarding distance. And that if you look at the champions, with the exception of Michael Thompson, hitting the ball a long way goes a long way here. And that despite that, you do not have to be a long player to do well here, because if you look at the players who have finished second and third over this event's short history, you can see that shorter players, and I don't mean like Corey Pavin short, but I mean shorter players can do extremely well here. So there are a variety of different players who could score well here, but it seems like length is a huge asset, just like it is anywhere. But I think it is interestingly pointed out perhaps why in a couple of other folks that whose writing you may have seen or whose tweets you might see, and it is worth talking about here. So TPC Twin Cities has, frankly, more water balls than pretty much any golf course on the PGA Tour in the last 3-4 years. And the 18th hole is one of the hardest in golf because of the way it's set up with the water everywhere on this closing par 5. Par 5 that can play over par, which is pretty wild. I mean, typically par 5s are anywhere from a half stroke to a tenth of a stroke under par. For a par 5 to play over par is it's a pretty big accomplishment. Not saying like they're trying to trick it up or anything, but the way the course is designed, a lot of the water in play is in play for everybody. Whether you're short, whether you're long, everybody can reach it or find it. It runs alongside, runs through in places where the gun runs diagonally. So the water can get everybody. And so I think obviously one of the big keys for this week for a player is to stay out of the water, right? If you stay out of the water, you're avoiding penalty strokes. Penalty strokes kill so much momentum in golf. So obviously, we're trying to find people who avoid the water, right? But sometimes you're just not, I mean, that's a random outcome. Like, sometimes that just happens. You miss hit one, and at the speeds that these players swing at, a very small miss can lead to a water ball. And that's not a bad swing or a bad player, just, it could just be a bad result that happens. So that's one thing I think we should point out here. And I think that leads to not random outcomes, but it maybe opens the door a little bit more to some other players, because a longer player has an advantage though on a golf course like this, not only because they're long and this is a longer course, but also because the longer player, if they find a lateral water hazard, it's not called that anymore, red stake water hazard, and you take a drop, well, you hit it far anyway, so where you cross the margin of the hazard is probably advantageous. So even if you do have to take penalty strokes, that's to your benefit. And that is something to know about the course this week. There are going to be plenty of water balls. There are going to be plenty of players who play themselves out of this because they have multiple water balls. It's just how it works. But that all said, I still think the longer players have an edge here, and that's why I'm going to tend to target them this week. So let's look at the updated market for the 3M Open. Everything's now published out there. 5s, 10s, 20s, 30s, and 40s, winning market. We'll talk a little bit about matchups and include that here. I do want to touch briefly on the tournament history. This tournament does tend to produce 2- and 3-shot winners. So I would look at your tournament props, and you look at the winning margin. I would look at 2 and 3, which are, 2 is tied with 4 and a playoff at plus 350. 3 exactly is plus 600. I would strongly consider firing on 350 for 2 strokes and 600 for 3 strokes exactly. Also want to point out that if you're DraftKings, they are again promoting the add plus 300 to any golfer to win. So the odds that we're listing, you're going to tack on plus 300 to that. Tony Finau, I think, opened to like 12 to 1. He has backed off substantially, 16 to 1. Sungjae 16 to 1, along with Cameron Young. I think Cameron Young opened a little bit deeper than that, but he's probably found some love this week. Again, he's a long hitter. He's not the best putter, but he can dominate the par fives. He keeps it in play. He should be fine. I think that's a reasonable look. A lot of people are going to like Hideki this week. He's been playing well, generally speaking. I liked him at the Open, bet him at the Open. He's 18 to 1 here. I can absolutely see that. Get him at 21 on DraftKings, not a bad number at all. Sepp Straka is 22 to 1. Sepp's been playing great golf, man. Had a great July. And I don't see a whole lot of parallel between this golf course and TPC Deer Run on paper. But then once you look at kind of how the golf course plays effectively with wooded areas versus water hazards, it's not that different. So I could see Sepp Straka playing really well here again on the back of some good play. Emiliano Grillo is your horse for course play at 25 to 1. Great finish of the Open. Couple of medal stand finishes here. You have to have him. You just have to. Ludvig Åberg, 28 to 1. Power game should work out well here. Just has to keep it in play. Again, the guy swinging at that kind of speed, just a slight miss can lead to a water ball. That is the line you're going to ride here. But 28 to 1 makes sense. Justin Thomas is on that same number, which tells you where he's at against a weak field. I'm not expecting a turnaround here. Steven Yeager, a lot of people will like. I just don't think he's going to close, but he's 35 to 1. Gary Woodland is 35 to 1. Ryan Baroff, who's a guy on Twitter who does a lot of golf betting advice and is a very good follow, he does not have Gary Woodland on his card this week, and he's a big Gary Woodland guy. So that might tell you a little something. I will not be on Woodland, but I get the case. Adam Hadwin interests me, though, at 35 to 1 because he is a better approach player. And he's also, frankly, not tired from traveling. Somehow did not get into the Open Championships, so that means he's rested. He didn't play in any of the Oppo events because he doesn't need to. So he's in this field this week, freshly rested, with a couple of weeks off. I ain't mad about that. I also wanted to look, before we get into the guys who are like 50 and deeper, I wanted to look in proximity for players from basically 175 yards or more, like that 175 to 200 number, because you're going to see some of those this week. And also want to look at 150 to 175. I think those are good ranges to look. So approach, and then on both of those ranges. So 175 to 200 this season on the PGA Tour, number one in that stat. Sung Yul No, number two, Sung Kang, number four, Sungjae Im in this field, Andrew Novak, number five, JJ Spaun, number seven, Taylor Pendrith, number eight. Pendrith, I think, is an interesting play this week. And by the way, Cam Young is 10th. An interesting play this week because last week did not match up with his game. Very tight, not very wide perceptual landing areas. I think water is less scary for his mind than trees. So I'd be interested in looking at his number. And that number currently is 60 to 1. So I think that's worth looking at. We talked about Cameron Young being a top player from that longer distance. He hasn't hit as many, right? And then if you want to look at 150 to 175, if you're looking for some crossover, Zach Blair plays well from that range. Cam Davis, a lot of people love because he hits his irons very well. He's 15th in 175 to 200. He is 5th in 150 to 175. So at 30 to 1, you understand the appeal. But he often doesn't finish very well, and that's kind of the struggle. But if you want to look at the 150 to 175s that are also interesting, Mark Hubbard, Grayson Sig, Tom Hoagie, go down the list a little bit more. Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to start. Yeah, then you start to get a little bit deeper into the 30s. But I think those guys are interesting just based on what their profile is. Aaron Rye is going to interest a lot of people this week, even though he's not the best putter. I think I'm going to stay away from that. I get the appeal, but I'm going to stay away from that. J.J. Spaun interests me based on those statistical analysis of iron play. Not the longest hitter, but if he can stick it tight and gain strokes on that longer iron play, he's got a good chance. Maybe a good sneaky pick. Bo Hostler has been playing well. He is 50 to 1, as is J.J. Spaun. I am going to look toward them, perhaps. I haven't really finalized anything this week except having Emiliano Grillo in hand. Mark Hubbard's been playing well, 55 to 1. Taylor Pendrith, I almost certainly will take at 60. Doug Gim at 70 to 1 is, I think, a good solid pick. Has been playing well, very, very well. They've just been playing very well. I've seen a lot of people like Lucas Glover because he is in part number one on the PGA Tour in proximity to the hole from the fairway. Just been crushing it that way. But that doesn't necessarily get anything if you can't putt particularly well. So something to keep in mind there. But that is worth noting. Grayson Sig has drawn some attention, 80 to 1. I just think he's so inconsistent. If he puts it together for a week, he absolutely could win. I keep talking about this guy, and he just keeps letting me down. So it's hard to keep putting money on a guy. And I haven't put too much money on him this year, but did a lot last year and just could not get anything out of it. So it's kind of like, no thank you. Uncle Chez probably going to see some action, 90 to 1. Will Gordon, I think, we'll see a little bit at 110 to 1. I probably will not play either of them. I'm going to go back with Callum Tarran. Just going to do it. I think he can do this. Seventh here last year. He is very much hit or miss. Very hit or miss. But I think he has the game to be able to do very well here. And his length is certainly a huge advantage. If you look at kind of his overall performance, he gains lots of strokes off the tee, and he gains lots of strokes on the approach. He is not a good putter. And he's not good chipping. But that's what leads to his kind of scatter plot of strokes gained. But driving the ball and approaching are very important on this golf course. Yes, he has not played well recently. He has made 5 cuts in his last 8 events. And before that, he went on a string of 9 consecutive missed cuts. Like, it has not been the best year for him. However, he's not that far out from getting into the playoffs because of that T2 at RSM. He has had some decent rounds on a couple of tighter courses. He looked pretty good at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, which is, I think, a fairly decent parallel here. I know there's a lot more water in play, but fairly decent parallel. And he's not that far off, I don't think. So I'm willing to put some money on him at 130 to 1. Might be a foolish bet, but I'm going to go right back to it this year. Ryan Gerard, I think, might be worth a look too at 150 to 1 this week. Had a really nice week last week. I know he's on the special temporary. Same price as Andrew Novak, who's a good approach player and just keeps making money, but not necessarily good for the wallet. Some people went to Troy Merritt last week at 180 to 1. I might do it. I might do it again and go after Troy Merritt at a higher price, because he was fifth, or no, excuse me, at the Deer, he had a very good week. T17, played well at the Barracuda. If you look at his overall results recently, obviously his season in total has been just downright demoralizing. But he's kind of gotten over whatever's been happening with these yips. T17s back-to-back at the in Detroit and the Deer. Got into the Scottish Open and missed the cut. T50 at Barracuda, even though he was in pretty decent position early on in the tournament, just couldn't really finish it very well. But he's playing better golf, and he's playing better golf against just, frankly, stink fields. So I'm willing to entertain him here at 180-1. I think it's worth a look. All right. I want to talk a little bit about a couple of matchup plays for this week. Again, not my favorite thing, but let's talk about some tournament two balls. Cam Davis against Aaron Rye. I'm going to take Cam Davis at minus 120. Doug Gim, minus 110 against Lee Hodges. I will take Doug Gim. I'm going to skip over Emiliano Grillo and Sepp Straka. I think that's a pretty darn close matchup, actually. I will take Taylor Pendrith over Garrick Higo at even money. I'm going to take Mark Hubbard at minus 110 over Patrick Rogers. I think Patrick Rogers is going to be just distraught after what happened to him in the playoff. Very unfortunate break for him at the Barracuda. Then I'm going to take Ludvig Åberg at even money over Justin Thomas, who is minus 120. And I'm going to take Adam Hadwin at minus 110 over Gary Woodland in that set of matchups. Of course, your mileage will vary. You may want to look at tournament groups and three balls. I prefer to just get it one-on-one and do it that way. But again, I don't bet a whole lot of those. I kind of like chasing winners and, you know, random kind of prop bets. But that's where I would go here. And then a little bit on top 40s that might be interesting. You don't get to plus money until you get to, like, Adam Svensson, Grayson Sigg. So, like, the 80-1 range is where you start to get plus money on the top 40s. There I would entertain Grayson Sigg at even money, or Tom Hoagie at plus 110, or Ches Reavie at plus 110. Guys like that, you probably feel pretty good about making the cut, but maybe don't feel so good about contending. That's a range where I could play and be pretty happy. Andrew Novak, kind of on that borderline. Very much reminds me of Tyrone Van Aswegen, who used to just make cuts and then finish T60 over and over and over again. But Novak's ceiling, or kind of middling finish, is T50. So you got a chance if he makes the cut. I do like his chances. I want a plus 150. Ryan Gerard, same thing, plus 170. I'm pretty cool with that. Maybe Erik van Rooyen playing a little bit inspired this week. Had a nice week last week. He's had a terrible year. But he and Troy Merritt, plus 180, plus 190 each, I would consider those for top 40 bets. And I'll leave it at that. There really aren't a whole lot of horse for course plays here, as we would typically talk about. We also don't have a whole lot, I think, of proper comparison in top 15 finishes in recent events, because you have 2 weeks with Oppo Fields and much different fields, much different conditions. I don't really like trying to make that leap. I mean, we're going to do an article about it, but I don't like trying to make that leap for this week. Let's go into the Amundi Evian Championship. We're in France this week. 10th year of this tournament being a major championship. Still feels like it's weird. It's not been wildly accepted, but counts as a major, so it's a major. And there's a lot of kind of stacked players in the 20-1 range or shorter. One name I'm going to point out before I go through all of them is Lynn Grant. I think you should bet her. I think people are betting her. She's 22-1. I'm pretty sure she opened closer to 30. You need to bet her. People are going to bet her down. I think she has a great opportunity here. She has won 4 times in the LET last year. She just won in the Dana Open in Ohio. She's playing good. 22-1 is a fair, probably not quite a fair price, but it's the price you should take her at this point. You should take her. Hyunjoo Kim leads the board at 12-1. Has played very well on this golf course in the past. Ziyu Lin is part of the pack at 16-1, along with Rose Zhang and Nelly Korda. Nelly Korda did win in her last start on the Aramco series, the Saudi-backed series on the Ladies European Tour, just after playing terribly in the U.S. Women's Open. So I don't know where she is, but winning again seems like a good thing for her. I still think those odds are too crappy for someone who's been through a lot this year, and I don't know that beating an LET field does a whole lot for me in terms of evaluating her price. 18-1, Jin Young Ko, Ataya Titikun. I'm just going to stay away from both. Jin Young Ko's done it, and I wouldn't be surprised if Titikun does it either, but those prices are not good for players who aren't in particularly great form. Minji Lee at 20-1. I will recommend her to pretty much anybody in any LPGA major because she's a great ball striker. She hits it plenty far. She can put herself in position without a whole lot of work and get a couple things to go her way. She wins. So I think that's worth a look. G.A. Shin has played shockingly well, I feel like, for someone who plays this tour very rarely anymore. But 25-1 is pretty interesting to me. She's such a precise player. She used to be number one in the world. I think she's found something again. I could see her winning this week at 25-1. Charlie Hull at 30-1 is probably going to get some play because of how she finished at the U.S. Women's Open. I am going to avoid. Give you a perspective on where Lydia Ko is this year. She's 35-1 with Ronin Yin, who won the Women's PGA, and Haijin Choi, and Georgia Hall, Carlotta Seganda. Allison Corpuz is 35-1. Why not? Why not? This is the kind of plotting golf that she loves. Position golf, hitting greens. If you make some putts, you win. 35-1, sign me up. I'll take it. Then you go down the list a little bit more, and now we start to get into some interesting territory. Cheyenne Knight at 60-1. She just won. She doesn't win a lot, but she just won the team event with Elizabeth Zokel in Michigan. So riding high, playing pretty well. I like that number at 60-1 for her. Se-young Kim, I want to put a little APB out for her at this number, at 65-1. So she was T32 in her last start. She has not had a very good year. She was T13 at the Women's Open, missed the cut at the Women's PGA, T39 at the ShopRite. Like, it's been a weird year for her. But I saw some things in her last start that I really liked, at the U.S. Women's Open that I really liked. So 65-1 is intriguing to me. I think worth a look. If you look at her work, body work. By the way, her LPGA profile picture, she does like all kinds of makeup in it, like very made up. She is not like that in person. It's really weird looking at that picture because she does not look like that day to day. Does not wear that much makeup. But if you look at her stats for the season, it's just kind of, like top 30 in everything, top 35 in everything, but it hasn't really netted a whole ton of great results. I mean, she's had zero top 10s this year, but she just keeps making cuts. Like, she hasn't played tons. She hasn't played a whole lot of golf. I mean, she has less than 12 starts, it looks like, but lots of top 20, top 23, top 21, a couple top 21, T21s, 27th, 13th, 30, like she's just kind of hanging there. She just needs one good week and she could do really good things here. So I'm going to look at her at that 65-1 number. I'd love to give you a couple of bombs that are worth looking at here. Aditi Ashok in 100-1, having a great year, target kind of golf course. This could be very much her brand. She's been playing well all year long. I don't understand why she keeps getting this level of disrespect. She's put herself into this position quite a number of times this year where she's just played really, really well. She's 45th in the world. She has moved up drastically in the world ranking this year. If you look at her results for the year, they're very good. I mean, she missed the first three cuts of the year and since then has done nothing but good. Runner-up in the playoff at the JM Eagle in Los Angeles. T5 the next time out Founders Cup. T4 at the event Rose Zhang won at Liberty National. T8 at the Meyer. T33 at the U.S. Women's Open, which she had a bad third round in those rough conditions, but otherwise would have been in really good shape for a nice week. Dana Open T7. She was in the team event last week. You could take or leave that, but T28. She has had a really, really nice year. That is the one bomb I think you need to take at 110-1. Everybody else, hey, up to you. Go get them. Have a good time. Maybe Emily Peterson at 130-1 could be worth a look too. Maybe Albain Valenzuela, 150-1. I would consider that as well. But beyond that, I think this is a pretty wide open tournament. I think you could get something very similar to what we got last week in the Open, where just something weird happens and a good player that's relatively unheralded wins herself a major, because that's the way it's gone this year in the LPGA. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for your time. We will run tonight's the model tonight. It's not really going to change my mind on anything, to be honest with you, unless I see something absolutely shocking in the numbers. This is going to be what I've run with this week. This is a week to try to take some shots, take a couple horse for course plays in that 20, 25, 30-1 range on the PGA Tour, and then go find a couple guys at 70, 80, 100, 130. Just see if you get there. Have a fun week. Don't throw a whole lot of money at this. It's a weird tournament with a lot of water in place, so weird things can happen. Bet wisely. Leave yourself a sweat, and that's really the extent of it. We'll be back tomorrow with our final card for the week. Thanks so much for your support. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me via email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, and Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. You can join Golf News Net for $99 a year. Would appreciate that too. Check out all of our tools, the model I do every week. Get full access to that at golfnewsnet.com. Thanks again. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Press.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.